What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Live Engadget podcast stream. I'm Senior Editor Dwinder Hardwar, this week joined by Deputy Editor Sherlyn Lowe. Hey, Sherlyn.
This week.
I mean, Sherlyn, you're not here. You're a busy person now, Sherlyn. And right now, Sherlyn is in California at the Google, the Made by Google event?
Yeah.
Google 9 launch. So hello from California. How are you doing?
It's been a day, but actually not that bad of a day. I don't know. How did it come off from your end, Devendra?
It's I'm always happy when we get a lot of the stuff we need to cover ahead of time, and we can just like think about the news and write that. So it was good. Hey, folks, I don't know if you've noticed, but there was a pretty big launch event today over at Engadget. We covered the Pixel 9 launch, also everything else around that, right? The Pixel 9 Pro, the Pixel 9 Fold Pro or Pro Fold. I got to look up the exact name.
Pro Fold. The names are quite a lot, yeah.
I have thoughts on the name of that foldable. It's very stupid.
Yes.
We've got the Watch 3, is it?
Yes. Yes, the Pixel Watch 3.
Buds Pro 2.
Yes.
So a lot of gear, a lot of stuff. Yeah. We've got questions about the camera on the Fold and everything. But hey, yeah, so we've survived and Engadget has survived. You can go check out all of our content, hands-ons, everything about all the new devices over at the site. But right now, we've got Sherlyn, and we can have like Sherlyn is all we've got, sadly. And on Thursday, Sam Rutherford will join me on the proper podcast, and we will dive into some of his hands-on thoughts too. But Sherlyn, yeah, first impressions from this launch event, and also of the devices that you've seen so far.
I think I was just talking to Lisa DeChico from Sina about this, and we were very impressed by the event. But Lisa mentioned that she felt like it felt more like an I/O. It felt less like a Pixel hardware launch event and more like a focus on software. And you know what? I think she's right, because like I feel as if Google has reached a point with this Pixel hardware that it's almost iterative every generation. I mean, other than the Pixel Fold, Pixel 9 Pro Fold, because that's still very new as a product category for them. But yeah, on everything else, the hardware is basically a canvas, a very capable canvas now for Google's real flex, right? The like software is where Google really, really flexes and really, really, you know, has an advantage over the likes of Apple. I mean, Google's AI, I think, is still far and away better than Apple's. Apple Intelligence. We obviously haven't seen a lot of Apple Intelligence in the real world other than on the developer beta, but yeah, it felt like a software show, really, which isn't a bad thing. I am so hyped for some of these features.
Well, it was a software show, except where was the actual next new software? Where was Android 15?
Oh, like, yeah.
Where's the thing that everyone is kind of waiting for? It is weird how, yes, we got a lot of software stuff. We got a lot of AI stuff and new features that, like the, what was it, adding yourself into a
photo?
Add me. Stuff like that is cool. The whole like screenshot, it'll remember info from your screenshots. You can ask, you know, Gemini about that. And that's cool.
Yes, yes. But it's, and then updates to the weather app. And then there's like some updates that we didn't see, but they're coming to Keep. So they bought lists. Also, Image Studio. Don't forget those very not wonky hot air balloons that you can add to your picture, Image Studio. Yeah, a lot of different apps, but no full release of like Android 15. You know what?
Yeah.
I wonder if this is like a hint of things to come. Because for a very long time, for I want to say at least the last two, if not 3 years, Google has like eschewed, I don't know, yearly big software release thing and just opted for like feature drops every quarter or so. And I feel like they're just going to do that moving forward and go on and give up on Android. Number generational every year thing. You know, that tells me I'm going to go ask someone here at Google in a little bit whether this is the way forward, because
you're definitely like, I was surprised. So we've allowed this coverage. I'm surprised Google is not very upfront with everybody that, hey, these new phones are not going to be launching with Android 15. They're launching with Android 14. And that news kind of trickled out because we're like, huh, they're talking about a lot of new features, but these phones are coming out like soon in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And this is early for Google, right? Like typically we get this stuff shortly after the Apple stuff. And I think this year Google's like, what if we just beat Apple? What if we just go a full month before the Apple event and kind of take all that news, take all that AI hype, even if our software isn't fully ready? I feel like that's what happened here. So it feels weird.
I don't know if they were trying to beat Apple to the punch necessarily, but I think it is good timing for someone like me who's been complaining very publicly about like how awful October usually is for all of us. And this year it's been like a little more reasonable, right? We had Samsung July, Google August, maybe probably iPhone September, Apple September. And then August, October might be okay. Like, we might survive this, you guys. Like,
it is, yeah, we're spreading out the wealth a little bit. October is normally like a fall crush for us. We call it Techtober. I'm probably okay with no events in August. I feel like, you know, these companies do have to take a break at some point.
Yeah, but if, yeah. if like, I mean, it used to be Samsung had its impact in August, and then now it's more early or late July. And this year was an anomaly again, because it was very early in July. But like all that timing sort of stuff aside, I want to say, like, Deepa in our chat also points out that like the Pixel Pro models, the Pixel 9 Pro models, they are going to come with 1 year at least of Gemini Advanced, which is something that was talked about during the show. Mm-hmm. And then also 2 terabytes of Google storage, right? For every person that buys a Google 9 Pro.
Even the standard Pixel 9 will also come with that. So not just the Pro. Yeah.
That's awesome, right? I mean, I don't know if Advanced will come with, I don't think Gemini Advanced is going to come with the regular Pixel 9, but the 2 terabytes of storage you're saying you might, will have that.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So like clearly Google is using these devices as a canvas to sell you AI. It's Gemini AI.
Sure.
It wants on-device AI. It wants to put them in your hands and for you to find the good use case for them. I mean, did you see anything that you like? Like, not sure. It's
fine.
I don't know.
The screenshot stuff is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, was it Gemini Live, the sort of like a live helper?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw a bunch of these similar announcements from OpenAI as well. Like, everybody wants to get to this point where you have a smart conversational AI helper.
Yes.
Maybe that's kind of cool. I am very glad, because before we covered WWDC together, Sherlyn, I was kind of dreading seeing a similar subscription from Apple.
Mm.
From Apple saying, hey, buy our new device, and if you want the best AI and the best software features, you also have to pay us $20 a month. And Apple didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Apple specifically was more focused on-device AI tools. There is going to be some cloud stuff, but you're not paying extra for that. That's just a part of buying into the ecosystem. And I think that's a very Apple move.
Mm.
And for Google to be like, oh, this is, we could just be a full-on subscription here. I think that's also a very Google move to like shift a lot of it to the cloud for processing. And also basically turn this into another subscription model.
Yeah.
Because it's more money on top of buying the devices on top of their typical storage subscriptions. I'm not a huge fan of that. I do think these devices are getting so much more powerful. I love to see these companies focus on what you can do on device without sending my data somewhere else,
yeah.
You know, without making us pay extra fees. Extra fees for AI, especially for features that aren't fully baked yet.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Copilot Pro stuff. A lot of that stuff is just not very useful. It's still $20
right.
a month.
It's gone.
It feels like a ripoff. So I hope Google makes it worthwhile. That's my thought on that.
Even then, I mean, to be honest, like, Google's already selling some of this stuff, right? The Gemini Advanced stuff baked into the workspace stuff. Like, a lot of the early access to some of these features that it's, like, launched with Gemini first rolled out to these premium-y workspace business types of customers, and then it's, like, starting to trickle out. But I agree with you that Apple's perspective or approach there is the more sound one, in my opinion, because you still haven't given me a compelling use case for AI that I would pay money for. And so for Apple to wait till it maybe finds that, it's smart. Plus, it's basically giving you like ChatGPT for free, right? Like you be able to use some ChatGPT features through Apple Intelligence.
Sure.
I will say that like mentioning Apple, I'm very happy we flew to Mountain View. Well, I flew to Mountain View for this like event and didn't sit and watch a pre-taped video. Like it was.
Sure.
Thank you, Google, for having live people on stage and trying to do live demos, which like. Some of them fell flat, and that's not a bad thing. Like, I thought it was
the very first demo fell really flat, which was the thing about, hey, take a picture of this, an invite and add it to my calendar. And it was 3 tries. We were, like, counting the seconds, too. Like, it felt like it took at least a full minute of failure and other things for that to finally start working. And I felt really bad for Google, but also, it was like, also, the people poking fun at AI and who don't give a crap about any of this, kind of on point. Like, this is the problem. He looked at an invite. He was trying to just, like, add that stuff to the calendar or check if he has a conflict with his calendar, right? And everybody in our chat in the Engadget Hangouts, I'm sure online, was just like, look at your calendar. Why don't you look at your calendar and see if this information conflicts? Like a human being, process some information on your own. And instead of doing that, which would have taken 5 seconds.
Yeah.
He did the demo.
Yeah.
Of the AI thing, which took 60 seconds,
yeah.
failed multiple times, was not ultimately easier. So,
and not going to always be accurate too, right? The problem with AI is that it doesn't always like perform correctly.
Yep.
Some of the other stuff that, like, Rick Osterloh saved for the end of the show was, like, research with Gemini. And, like, it's supposed to be able to do multi-step, multimodal, like, lots of, like, reasoning that will think ahead even in the future and present things like a research proposal for you.
Sure, Rick.
But, like, even then, if just one step along the way the Gemini AI is not accurate, your entire report and proposal falls apart. And it just has to happen once and you've lost trust in this sort of situation. So it's really difficult. I think for Google to prove that Gemini has a use case there. I will say, I think I can't remember, like, on hindsight, like, how everything flowed, just because it was like a blur to me. I was live blogging in a frenzy. But I think what did we get first, like, some mention of Gemini and, like, improvements to the model. Then we got, like, the Pixel 9 device announced, and then we got 9 Pro Fold, and then we moved on to Pixel Watch 3 and then Pixel Buds Pro 2, right? That was the general sequence
Sounds
of events.
About right, sure.
I mean, and there were a lot of cameos. We said, I think we quickly mentioned Keke Palmer at the start of the stream. Jimmy Butler, or Jimmy Buckets, as he's more fondly known, also made an appearance to demo this Add Me photo or camera feature coming to the Pixel 9 series, which I think is a smart application of, like, AI, AR, and, like, camera stuff.
Sure.
I think Google is having fun. It's I hate that it's using the word era, but it is, and it's like AI having fun era. And you know what? Go live your life, Google. Go do it.
Go live your life. I mean, as an event, I can't really judge. I will say it does suck that that demo fell flat for them. That shows all the pitfalls of AI right now. And when we've talked about stuff like Amazon's assistant and Siri and everything, like, the thing that was always most frustrating about the early virtual assistants was that if it mishears you one time, if it makes a slight mistake, when you're talking to something, like if you're talking to another human being and they don't, like, understand you, or it's more frustrating than if you're clicking a mouse and, like, it doesn't click, or you type something in, like, the computer's wrong, because it feels like you're actually engaging something. So I think the frustration level as a human with AI is going to be a lot higher. So there's a higher threshold for them to clear.
Yeah.
Also, nothing that they really showed me is something I'm, like, super excited for. I guess I take a lot of screenshots, which calling screenshot stuff, that's kind of cool, but also putting
screenshot stuff. Oh my goodness.
It's cool. The whole, like, recording, basically transcripts.
Yes, call notes.
With
call
the basic
notes,
facts of your
so
calls,
good.
Call
yeah.
notes is good. I hope the security behind that is
it's
really
on
strong.
Device. It's based on recorder tech, I think. So should be.
But it's also, like, if somebody, it's not that unusual for people to have bad pins or other people to get access to their devices unlocked. Like, people are not super security conscious. So somebody grabs your device and it's open.
Yeah.
They see a lot of information. They see a lot of, like, information between those calls. And sometimes you're throwing out personal information.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you're reading your social security number over the phone or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's not.
I always think of, like, calls as my, like, most secure means of transmitting confidential or sensitive information. In the sense that, like, if I had no other choice, versus over email or versus over text, like, I'd rather call
someone. Sure.
Because, like, there's no, like, written, you know, trail. But yeah, this might make it, like, a little.
Now we have recorded.
Exactly.
Trail.
So, like, there's a paper trail now. Do you want to point out in the chat, there are a few, like, great comments. Mike Jones Jr. said, I hate when they show up all these features and rarely say which ones are Pixel exclusive and which ones are just Android. And, like, I would assume that everything, agree with you 100%, but I would assume that a lot of these things are Pixel first to begin with. And they might eventually trickle out to Android. They're just not always very clear which ones do come out to Android, which, to your point, is very frustrating, Mike Jones. And Niranjan Banda in the chat agrees with you. DeepRoline says Gemini will ship to all Android phones. I'm sure they will, because Gemini Advanced is something you can sign up for and pay for, regardless of whether you have a Pixel phone or not.
That's what Google wants. It is the new Android, basically. Like, it is a new layer on top of Android. So Google wants that everywhere. Fingers in every single pocket.
Yeah. And then Jared Iyer Williams made a funny mistake that we honestly here at Engadget have been making the same mistake. So Jared Iyer Williams said in the chat, the 9 Pro Fold 2 looked good. My bad, 9 Pro Fold. And, like, when I was watching Sam shoot his hands-on video for the 9 Pro Fold, the number of times he tripped saying Pixel 9 Pro Fold has been immense. I felt for him, and I just went, like lean into it. If the name sucks, the name sucks. Devendra, you think the name sucks?
You could just call it the Fold 2. I think the name sucks, and the name is also representative of a lot of problems that Google has. Like, I think that name is such an indicator of, like, oh my, you're just a bunch of freaking nerds, and you don't understand how humans think. people know what the Pixel Fold is. You had it for a long time. It was over a year, yeah. I think, or at least.
No, it's a year. It's just a year.
We get it. So if you call it Pixel Fold 2, we get it. Oh, it's running the same hardware as the Pixel 9 or 9 Pro. Who cares? It's a longer name to say. It's super annoying. People don't remember it, and it's inherently confusing. And I think some Google nerd was like, "Oh, this looks cleaner on the spreadsheet." You know,
the alignment.
Family cleaner on the spreadsheet, or you have the family picture, you have the family table on the Pixel site right now. It's cleaner.
Yeah.
If they all have the same name, and I'm just like, Google, you guys, somebody needs to slap these engineers and be like, a human will want a Pixel Fold,
right?
Not what you're thinking. I don't know if this got you heated at all. But it felt indicative of like the problems Google creates for itself just because somebody was like, oh, this looks better on our website.
Yeah, I didn't get too heated about this. I will say it was funny to watch Sam Tripp.
It's just a dumb
But I think Pixel Fold 2 is a better name. But I was just thinking to myself that like even the Pixel 9 Fold would have been like a better name. But then I realized that if you dropped the Pro word that some people would get confused and think it's not Pro, and then like I can see why they want to add 9 to the name, because they want to make it clear that this is something they might be investing in year over year, and it's not going away, and it's also like part of the family of devices, and therefore you should think of it as a more like mainstream viable but high-end option, like the Galaxy Z series is very clear, right? I think Google can stand to learn a little bit from Samsung here.
No, how dare we're saying Google can learn from Samsung.
I know, for one, yeah.
Another company
with the worst names, like, but they
with the worst changed
names. It a little bit for the better with the S24 becoming like based on the year as opposed to a like random number. But like, excuse me, I almost choked.
Please don't.
But yeah, the Pixel like 9, what is it? The 9, and then the 9 Pro, and then 9 Pro XL, and then 9 Pro Fold. Folks, that's the whole lineup of the Pixel 9 family right now. And if they had just a random Pixel Fold, you know, like designation out of nowhere, would you get confused? I don't know. Tell us. Buddy305Love is here. And Buddy305Love says that the marketing team usually has the last say on names. Oh, my goodness. Mark Dell's here, too.
It depends. It depends on a lot of things. And usually it's the leaders of that product. Like, the product leads will have a lot of say. But I will say that must have been a really heated, like, boardroom session. Or, like, session in a conference room. Like, everybody's just, like, fighting. Because I'm sure there are people at Google who think like normal human beings and be like, guys, we just released the Pixel Fold. Everybody just wants a Pixel Fold 2. Don't make it so hard. And then other people are like, but how will they know it's part of the Pixel 9 family? You know? And then it can't just be the 9 Fold. It's a little better than the 9. So it has to be the 9 Pro. So now we're just adding more words to the stupid thing. What a... It just, to me, is a silly mess. But sure. What do you think of that device overall? Because that is the most interesting one.
It's a really good looking and good feeling device and for a foldable phone. Sam has mentioned this in his hands-on, but I will hammer it home that the aspect ratio of that middle internal screen is really unique in the space, especially compared to Samsung, where you have like a bit thinner, a different orientation for the internal screen. Plus, it's a little less skinny compared to Samsung's Galaxy Z Fold 6, which is more like a baton when it's folded up, whereas the Pixel Pro Fold actually feels, the Pixel 9 Pro Fold actually feels kind of like a regular phone when it's folded in half. Like, it's, I like it. It's that the hardware is solid now, whereas last year, you know, the original Pixel Fold felt like it had still a little bit too chunky bezels, still a little unpolished. It felt like a prototype almost, but now we've got something that feels grown up. So I think it's a nice device. And Sam rightly always wants camera performance to be basically equivalent on your most expensive phone as compared to your, like, you know, high-end flagship. And to Deeper9's point in the chat, $1,800. I think this thing is $1,799 or $1,700. I forget. But, like, this thing is
the same as before.
Yeah. It is an expensive phone. So you can't charge people this much money and be like, the camera's just going to suck a little bit compared to the, like, $1,000 phone.
Yeah.
So.
And it does kind of, because did you guys ever get confirmation? Is it the new sensors that's in the 9 Pro in the Fold, or are they the old?
Sam might know better. Hype left the entire Fold coverage to him.
Yeah. So I read his hands-on. I don't think he got confirmation. I don't think Google's fully saying, but that's basically what happened last year and kind of what we're used to. We're looking at the video Sam's hands on right now on the stream. And I do have to say, the hardware does look nice. Like you were saying early on, Trillin, this didn't really feel like a hardware event. But to me, this felt like a pretty monumental hardware event for Google, because finally, the Pixel does not look like...
Yeah.
How about
it
that?
It looks kind of...
It doesn't
you know,
look
this
like...
is your bias speaking.
It looks
yes,
better.
Your bias speaking, because why?
Yes.
It looks like an iPhone. This...
It looks like an iPhone, but it also looks like so the main deal was the camera bar,
mm-hmm,
which
yeah,
been
yeah.
on the back of the Pixel phone since the Pixel 6. That was like a thing. I think when we talked about it, it was like, oh, that's
mm-hmm,
unique.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Sort of like in polite society when you're like, oh, that's like you're tasting somebody's dish that they bring to potluck.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah,
yeah,
nice flavor in that. Really unique. The Pixel, that design always looked interesting, but not attractive.
But now,
not particularly stylish. And now, the camera bar is still there, but they rounded the edges to like a pillbox shape, and it almost feels like a dig against Apple because it looks like the Magic Island.
Oh, the Dynamic Island,
like,
the notchy.
The Dynamic Island, yeah. But it looks like the notch from Apple, except it's on the
back. I think that's you stretching.
That's what it looks like to me. Like that's the shape that
it's
we're
a
all
pill
working
almost,
each,
yeah.
But it's a pill. Overall, though, the Pixel 9 and the 9 Pro and the Fold look nice.
Yeah.
And that's something I don't think I've been able to say for any of the Pixel phones. Like, they've always been functional early on. They were kind of ugly and basic.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of got more interesting with the Pixel 6 because they wanted a different, a sort of like
camera.
Because
of the bar. Yeah.
So I would love to know what people think of the new design.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are going a little more stylish, but it's also $100 more than last year. That's a big downer for me.
Yeah, I think they're bringing like improved things like RAM and storage. Obviously, for the full details, check out the post that we have on Engadget.com. Can I just quickly shout out that this video that you're showing on screen right now for the stream, I shot most of the B-roll for Sangha.
Oh, is that why it's so
yes,
shaky
it's extremely
and
shaky
and
unfocused. So it's like, if y'all have like issues with it, you send your emails to me. But also... I am like, wow, look, I'm actually watching this video back for the first time. Oh, okay. Oh, no, this part is Sam. That part was Sam. No, don't blame me for that one.
That part is Sam.
And the shaky, unfocused shots were all Sam. And then the nice ones were all
so
me.
So for full background, everybody, we're all trying to get used to using the DJI Osmo Pocket for a lot of our handheld shoots. And
behind the scenes info.
We're getting video.
Yeah.
We're getting video.
Yeah. So bear with us. Bear with us. We're transitioning. These are some transitional frictiony things that we're working out. We'll get better in time. But I also want to point out we've had a few like late joiners to our party in the chat. In addition to Mark Dell and Buddy305Law that I shouted out just now, we have had Turbine with a one in the name drawing. We've had people like Ridmon and I'm still scrolling. Rent Joe, all leaving comments, which we love. Leave us more comments in here. But I did want to like answer. So, Devendra, are you like the type of person that makes use of every single camera on your camera lineup?
I paid good money for the iPhone 15 Pro Max, and I use
every single camera. Which one do you use the most? Like which?
So,
one?
I don't. What is great is the telephoto one, the one where I can actually zoom 2x or 5x, because when you've got kids or you've got animals, sometimes the correct framing, if you move too close to something, it kind of goes away. So the capture moment, zoom.
Right, you
want to
scare away a deer or like let your kid know you're there.
Or my kids are doing something cute, like catching something candidly, it's good to have.
Not to bring it back to the topic and too quickly, but there's a new like Magic Editor feature called Auto Frame. That will help you like rework an image, recompose an image. And it can do so by maybe generative filling the background if you've like, you know, shot something a bit off center and stuff like that, which is nice, right? I think Magic Editor also has some like cool new features. Like I said, the reimagine one already where you can like select parts of a photo and then ask Magic Editor to reimagine it filled with hot air balloons or filled with storm clouds or like wildflowers as per the demo during the Google event. So those are interesting. I mean, I want to play with them, but I don't think they'll necessarily be helpful. With Image Studio, they did Pixel Studio. Image Studio is the Apple one. Pixel Studio, they did demo that you can use prompts to tell AI to generate certain like graphics for you. So they did like an ocean party invite, like a campfire in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. And then they created stickers of their friends' faces from photos, right? And that's obviously been an iOS feature for a little bit, I think at least since iOS 17 and 16. And stickers can be put into pictures in these Pixel Studio ones, but not elsewhere in the ecosystem. So still a little bit limited compared to Apple, but Yeah, I definitely enjoy that. I'm definitely like making stickers of myself all over the place. And I think it's fun.
Totally fun. Should we take some questions from the stream? Because, hey, we've got general thoughts. We've got a lot of coverage up there. I want to know what people are thinking of these devices. Are you impressed by the Pixel 9? Like, to me, just looking at the Pixel 9, I was like, huh, Google finally made, after many, many years, because they were making phones before the Pixel series, like, the Nexus phones were a thing. I covered those way back in the day. Some of those looked really cool. But they never quite figured out iPhone-level style. They picked up HTC's hardware team, RIP HTC. Yeah. They had some good smarts there. And now it's like, oh, just make it a little, just make the materials a little nicer. Give us a little more of a polish. Maybe charge people more because of that. But there's more RAM and other hardware too, so maybe that's partially justified. I think they're good-looking phones. How do these stack up with the latest Galaxies?
Well, really quickly, speaking of, like, charging people more, you said, for you know, improving and iterating on that design. Like, Jaredire Williams has asked this twice in the chat, now, I'm pretty sure. How much, you know, Jaredire is wondering how much Gemini AI will be once that free sort of allotment has expired, that one-year Gemini Advanced coverage. And Devendra, you...
It's $20 a month.
For Copilot, you're $20 a month, or are you saying Gemini Advanced, or...
Gemini Advanced, like,
gotcha. Yeah, so...
We're on Google right now, it's $20 a month. They could get it more expensive. Any subscription.
Yeah, so I guess if you're like Pixel 9 Pro, you're buying for $100 more, is, you know, comes with that Gemini Advanced access for a year, that's like $240, I guess, off the, like, you're saving maybe, or like balancing out. I don't think it balances, but anyway. Lots of people in chat are like, I'm getting a Pro XL. I am more hyped for the Pro non-XL, y'all. Like, this is the first time we're getting a Pixel 9 Pro or a Pixel Pro. In two sizes, it's like a smaller size. I am mildly excited, if only because I want to use it to test a lot of these AI features out. And I love a Pixel camera, so there's that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know it, for as to like specs to specs, how they compare, right? Are you talking about like just the candy bar flagships or the foldables that are like we're facing off right now?
That's a good question.
Which one are you more?
Wondering. I think the candy bar foldables, just the fact that they're cheap, like they're so much cheaper now. They're $700-$800. I'm seeing them in the wild. I've never seen a Galaxy Fold or a Pixel Fold, you know, outside of tech
people
in New York, even. Like I just don't.
It's funny,
see them
we've
around.
Seen a lot, but they're all in New York, I think. Like the coastal cities.
They're all in New York. It totally makes sense. But I would, just looking at this one, Trillin, like I think this looks like a really nice foldable. Fixes a lot of the problems we had with the first one. What will it take for you to main this?
A fold?
Make this your secondary phone along with your iPhone. Yeah. You're the mobile. You're the mobile lead.
What it would take is, I would relinquish the title of mobile lead to Sam very soon, but I already do. But like, camera features, and, you know, of course I love the camera features. Like, some of the camera features on the Pixel Fold. 9 Pro Fold specifically, like, made you look. Isn't that cool, though, Devendra? Like, using the external screen to, like, get your kid to look at the camera. I thought that was, like, smart as fun. It was such a great demo because there are cute babies involved. And I think that to the point of Buddy305 Love in the chat, Buddy305 Love says the Z Fold 6 is a lot better because One UI is clutch. I think, yeah, there's a lot of productivity things that Galaxy Z Fold 6 might do better, even though I prefer Pixel UI. I think one is a bit more productivity focused and one's a bit more entertainment focused. Google is the latter and also a bit more AI focused. What would it take? I don't know, more camera. What it would take is for Pixel Flip. I want Google to make a Pixel Flip.
You want a Pixel Flip? Yeah. I see some people in the chat. I was not saying $1,800 is the cheap price. I'm saying the price under $1,000. So the Galaxy Flips right now is what, $700 or $800? Like, more reasonable.
The
default
the
cheapest
flip
thing in the world, but more reasonable.
Oh, sorry, the Z Flip, not the Z Flip. That's that. I think if I'm not remembering wrongly, is like more like $999. It could have come down in price.
There was one.
Oh, the Motor Razr Plus. Those are way cheaper.
Motor Razr Plus, but just the fact that we have those out there, you're right. A Pixel Flip would be kind of interesting. And I think we've gotten to the point where those things got cheap enough where it's like, you need an Android phone? Like, why don't you consider one of the flips? Whereas if you want something like the Pixel 9 Pro Fold or the Galaxy Fold, whatever we're on, you're paying close to $2,000.
Yeah,
and that's insanity. You know, like, That's a lot of money. Like, you're better off buying a flip, you know, phone or a normal phone and buying like a small tablet. Because a really good tablet is not that much.
Rant Joe, very appropriately to their name, says, I don't want the AI feature. It's just a gimmick. I don't care about it. Yeah, you rant on, Rant Joe. Like, absolutely.
You rant on. Don't pay the extra fee for it. Yeah.
If you don't want, the good thing about AI features, the way they're baked in right now, is like, if you don't want it, you can still like opt to not use it. I think that's the way it should always be. Like, no one should ever be forced to use like a feature they don't want to be using. If you don't like it, you don't like it, that's fine. I find that most of these like AI like summarize and like generate graphs or paragraph writing for you, I don't like any of them. I'd rather do my own writing, so it is what it is. But like, there are people that like it though. And then Corey Dornbush in the chat says that they just got the upgrade push notification from Google Fi on the Pixel 9, which is interesting. Are you saying you already have a Pixel 9?
Interesting.
I want to point out that Michael Kaywood just joined the chat and said hi to Michael Kaywood. Yash Srivasta says that nobody cares about Android. Well, you are tuning into an Android-based live stream, so I don't know what you're saying here. Apple keeps it simple.
Typical internet.
And that Android is a bit confusing, and then you play Assassin's Creed on your iPhone, and you're still here on our live stream, so that's nice.
That's nice. Good for you.
The Punisher says that you might be in the minority, but you can't wait to use the AI features. I can't wait to use some of them. I'm really stoked for some of them. It's really cool.
Some of them. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in our own chats. Like, we were all like negated. We were all wondering, like, a lot of this stuff just feels like the downfall of humanity a little bit too. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Asking an AI thing, what do I do with my niece this weekend? I don't know. Talk to your freaking niece. See what she likes. Learn to communicate with her on a human level and form some sort of social bond. Maybe do that instead of ask Gemini. So I do think a lot of this stuff is a little like overbaked. Like, yeah. I don't know how useful this is to normal people. It may make a cool demo to Google. And I think investors are up on AI right now. But we have been covering this stuff for pretty much 2 years now, like the rise towards generative AI and large language models and everything they're producing. And I'm not sold any of the stuff, Sherlyn, except the stuff that actually helps us do work. So I use Descript.com for transcription and some podcast stuff. I know a lot of people that are using tools like that. People are using AI tools within Photoshop and other media creating tools. Like, that sort of stuff seems directly functional and useful. And I won't deny that that's helpful.
I think a lot of the things that I've found useful over the years, it's you know, weird to say over the years, but like, remember, AI is a term that's been around for a very long time. Generative AI is the one that's recent, right? But like, even Google's like smart replies in its inbox is sort of, it's not generative to that extent, but it is contextually looking at your emails and then generating replies. And those have I found that I've used them.
Like, small
right, very,
language
very
models.
Small. They're not huge LAMs or whatever. Like, but then I find that was helpful. I find, like you said, the generative fill stuff that image editors or photo editors like that have also helpful. They've been around for so long, though, and that's why they've become more useful. I think when Smart Replies was first announced, people had a lot of similar initial apprehension. Like, if you use a Smart Reply to reply to my email, I will not talk to you ever again. Like, I remember that. I'm like, me too. I thought that too. But now I do actually click on those chips sometimes, so.
You just click on it. No. It does. It is inherently a little humanized.
It is.
So, like, that's the thing. We talked about this when it comes to like the stupid Google like phone call thing where you tell, you know, Google Assistant to call stores for you. And I'm like, that's bad for service workers. It's bad for just like on a basic level. Like, you're not actually talking to another person. And then you're sending this stupid robot that could have all these errors to potentially go ruin somebody else's day. And you are so oblivious from it. It's like sending a drone strike from across the planet, right? You have no clue what damage you've done to this person if Google's assistant is not good at actually capturing this reservation. And then you get mad at the restaurant if you go later and something about that reservation is
messed up.
Google is almost, you may get annoyed at Google, but it's you go there for dinner or something and something's messed up.
Yeah.
You're mad at
the fallout from the fallout from AI not working does get caught by like human people just trying to do their best and like got screwed over by the AI. Yeah. So that's not good. I don't know. We'll see, right? Like, I think a lot of this we'll see in time, the impact and effect of. I think there's a lot more going on in the chat, which, by the way, I love it. You're all very lively right now. Rant Joe is saying, I'm waiting for the Pixel 8a to be more of a deeper discount now that the 9 came out. Yeah, I mean, like, looking down the Horizon, November's coming out. Yeah. We've got Black Friday coming out. Jamil Johnson says, the real question is how come Apple hasn't made a fold or flip smartphone yet? We shall see. Like, my money is on a foldable iPad mini in the next 2 years.
That's not it's a good thing you bring that up, but also, is it any question why Apple hasn't done this? Because the tech is still super early. These devices are really, really fragile compared to a normal smartphone, and the functionality, I don't think it's justified the cost for a lot of people. You may see the super rich gadget nerds with a Galaxy Fold or something, or Pixel Fold, but it's not fully justified for everybody. So I think Apple is the sort of company that's like, let's sit and wait and let's do this right. If Apple does a Fold, there's not going to be a crease on it. Like, Apple's probably sitting and waiting for just folding display tech to get to the
point. We're getting so close to that. There's a lot of devices that have very, very little visible crease anymore, especially on the Asia side of things. But I think to someone else's question earlier on in this chat, the Pixel Fold doesn't have that noticeable crease either. I think it looks pretty good. Also, Mike Jones Jr. responded to say that, not to worry, Apple will invent the foldables in a few years. Jared Williams points out that they just saw the specs for the Pro Fold, and it added, it added wireless charging, which is a good thing for that phone. And yeah, I think that's good too. I also want to point out that a spec sheet discovery later in the day after the Google event, somewhere it was found on the internet, I think it was 9to5 Google, that discovered 45-watt wireless charging is now supported on the Pixel 9 family with the included 45-watt charger in the box. So that's very fast, which is good. Cool. Still not T2, which is basically MagSafe, which we're all kind of waiting on, but there you go. And then Mark Dell AI peaked at Sherlon. and Gadget Podcast listeners will know. I want to say Buddy305 Love was like, can AI tell me what pickup line to use? And then Mark Dell responded, certainly, here's a playful pickup line for Sherlon Lowe and Gadget's deputy editor reviews. Quip, are you a tech review? Because you've got my heart racing with every word. Smiley face, phone symbol, heart emoji. Mark.
Terrible.
Hey, rejected. I have ghosted you. I am sorry. lots of, gosh, y'all are hilarious in this little chat. I also want to point out that Yash Srivastava, who earlier on was like saying, Android's not cool. And I was like, why are you here, bro? Was just like, Yash, you were like, no, but you were like, useful. You did have a follow-up that was like, Android needs to win back the average consumer. They need a marketing strategy to make Android cool again. I love the innovation. I don't want new ideas to die out from Apple and its dominance. So it sounds like you're actually an Android fan and you want it to be cool. So I mean, it's hard to be a fan of anything that can't taste because, you know, they all just, it's hard, right? Everyone disappoints you in the end. So maybe just don't invest. Not even in me. Don't be a fan of me. I say, like, I'll disappoint you one day. But like... Here. There's your pickup line, Buddy305 Love. I'll disappoint you one day. Want to go out?
I mean, I've heard your movie review, Sherlyn. I get disappointed. Come on, folks. Any other questions that we want to hit? We will be talking about any other further stuff on the Final Engadget podcast or the Final Pixel 9 Engadget podcast on Thursday.
I do want to mention at the very least the Pixel Watch 3 and the Pixel Buds 2 Pro or Pro 2. So the Pixel Watch 3 is something that I did a hands-on with, and the big thing this year is similar to the Pixel 9 Pro. It's got a different size. It's got a new size. Cool, a 45-millimeter version now. Yay. Have been always using the 41, not always, but I've used the 41-millimeter Pixel Watch when it launched, as well as the Watch 2. And this year, we've got a 45-millimeter version, which doesn't look all that much bigger. If you're on the live stream, you can see it on my wrist right now on the screen. And yeah, it's not too overwhelming, but you get to see quite a lot more content on it. And I think that people who have heard of a difficulty reading small font and whatnot or smaller interfaces will benefit from this, which is good. One size doesn't fit all. And I think Google learned here, which is nice. The other thing is these displays are have more of an adaptive refresh rate, so they can go down to 1 hertz and up to 60 hertz. That's because of the actual displays that are on them right now. And then, yes, the brightness can go up to...
OLED displays. That's actually OLED. I hate when they're making
No, it's basically Google just making nice the OLED point that Google. It's got its own brand of display, similar to other companies. but also, these will go up to 2,000 nits of brightness, which is twice as bright as the last model. And then it can go down to 1 nit, which is something the Apple Watch also did. So The Pixel Watch 3, in terms of hardware, like, that's really a lot of the changes is in the screen, the new size. Again, the screen also on the original size, the 41mm one, they shaved out, like, 16% of the bezel. So even without, you know, exchange, like, getting a bigger case, you've got a bigger screen for a bit more stuff. And then there's this new thing called loss of pulse detection that's launching with the Pixel Watch 3. I don't know if you've heard of that phrase before, Devendra.
I saw that whole thing that
yeah.
launched.
Loss of pulse detection.
What a, it's a funny phrase.
Is it loss of the pulse loss of or pulse. Loss okay. of the detection? Like, girl, use dashes. I don't know. But yeah, but it's interesting. So it's being touted as this first of its kind feature. It's still working through the regulatory channels. And it's like launching first in some mm-hmm. countries in the EU, including the UK. Yeah.
It's launching in Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, obviously there are different regulatory like hoops to jump through. But I think they're working on bringing it here. I mean, I think it's an interesting mm-hmm. feature, right? Like, it's kind of like the fall detection feature that's emergency related on a lot of smartwatches these days because everyone copied Apple. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I fell somewhat recently, like in July, I fell off a bike and my Apple Watch Series 9 that I was mm-hmm. wearing, like within seconds was like, wow, it's like, seems like you just fell. Should we call emergency services? It was very that's smart, great. But I was up, crying. And, like, absolutely not in the mood to look at my watch. It was buzzing incessantly on my wrist. But, okay, I mean, it was accurate.
Sure. But if you had, like, broken your leg or something, yeah, you would have been
thankful,
crying. But
yeah.
You would also,
and
like,
had
yes,
I not
Apple
been
watch,
surrounded by people
help.
Who were willing to yeah. help, too. I was in New York. People were actually being nice, so that mm-hmm. was good. I do want to point out with the Pixel Watch 3 that I also unearthed a little nugget of information, and y'all are hearing about it here first on the live stream uh-huh. chat. And the article is already live on Engadget.com, so go for the details. But basically, I don't know if it's been clear to you, Devendra, before, but have you wondered what happened mm-hmm. to Fitbit branded smartwatches ever? Yeah.
I have wondered what happened to Fitbit in general.
Well, so what, yeah. like about 3 years ago that Google completed its like acquisition of Fitbit mm-hmm. and it's what, since then released like 3 Pixel watches, including the Pixel Watch 3 you saw today. And then also in that mm-hmm. sort of time frame, Fitbit's only really launched the Sense 2 and Versa 4. And those are both its own brand of smartwatches that it's been making for mm-hmm. years on its own before being bought by Google. And since then, it's been quiet. That was like in 2022 until now. So I think like when the sort of merger more or less first happened, there was a lot of chatter around what this means for Fitbit devices, Fitbit brand, Fitbit watches. And my sense, and I'm sure if you go back to old episodes of the Engadget podcast, you'll hear this. Okay, I've predicted this, all right? Fitbit, I think, was never going to make another smartwatch, but I knew they were going to continue making activity trackers because it always made sense for Fitbit, as a brand that's so heavily associated with that category, to continue making trackers, like mm-hmm. the Inspire, the like whatever else they make, the Fitbit Inspire, the basic step trackers that also do more than just steps now. And then there's also Fitbit Premium, which they're, I think, kind of somewhat pivoting to becoming like more of a coaching content based sort of ecosystem, which I think is fine. They're also using AI to like generate workouts for you. So I think I'm the first person to get them on record saying that they're definitely no longer going to make Fitbit smart branded smartwatches. I mean, in not so many words. I think they're That's saying cool. like they're basically saying that like look, yeah. the next Fitbit smartwatch, you should think of it as the Pixel Watch 3. Then in that like Fitbit smartwatches have evolve like a Pokemon into the Pixel Watch family. And that makes sense.
I will say this, by the way. It makes sense. I think we all kind of expected that as just after the acquisition was over and Google went all in on the Pixel Watch. This one doesn't look so bad. Honestly, I wish there was like an Apple Watch variant that kind of had the rounded face and like looked a little more like this. I think, like, again, with the Pixel 9 and the 9 Pro and the Fold and everything, like, this is a good design year for Google. So, hey, color me surprised. I'm just sitting here wondering how this is going to fall apart for them. It's usually, like, a little thing. It's like calling the Fold 2 what should have been...
The 9 Pro Fold.
No. The smartest thing, the 9 Pro Fold. That's a very googly... And I think, like, Google as a company is just so unused to... They're not good with consumer hardware. We've talked about this a lot, and I just don't know if I can.
I know where you're coming from. I'll say that like the Pixel Watch looks nice. It's felt comfortable. You know, it's one of the more comfortable mm-hmm. watches, especially when paired with the right bands. The, like, stretch band is like, oh, chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. Because it's basically the Apple Solo Loop, but in a more, is a softer, stretchier material. It doesn't, maybe, like, over time, it might lose its elasticity, but I haven't experienced that yet. So I love those. And I think that that is testament to, like, Google meeting Fitbit with hardware. I mean, Fitbit was never good with style, I think, in my opinion, but it's got good hardware heritage. I took issue with one of your, like, reviews before we worked together, Devendra, where you were like, this was before I joined in, yeah, and you were like, Fitbit Lux is the first stylish Fitbit. I was like, stylish? No, we've argued about this.
That was.
I know. It was the first one that looked like it was not a square. Like, yes.
They were more, like, they were hard on fitness stuff. Like, they were a fitness device company that did really good data work, and, like, that was core of Fitbit. They didn't have great design work either, but I think it had more personality than a lot of the Google stuff. So, you know, and now they're kind of finalizing what the Pixel brand identity is. And
So I think, like, also if you know, anyone listening, watching this has time to go read that report that I wrote about, like, what Fitbit is doing with its smartwatch slash how it's working together with Google. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things I've included in one, which is how Google and Fitbit now work together on the Pixel Watch and where Fitbit still continues to fit in the industry and within Google. Because even if, like other people in the chat, like Yash are saying, like, Google should just make Fitbit free already, or like Yash is saying Fitbit naming, like, Google just keep it simple, peeps. Buddy305 Love was the one who said, like, that Google should just make Fitbit free already. Yeah, like, it seems better to integrate Fitbit into Google's ecosystem and not have that logo keep jumping up at you. But I will say Fitbit still does have a lot of this brand recognition, and especially in the tracking space, especially in heart rate tracking, where they've been, like, a pioneer in sleep stage tracking overnight too. So, like, a lot of that stuff, Fitbit deserves to keep its name on, I think, and Fitbit deserves to stick around for a little bit. I want to correct something. Yash Srivastava says that you can use a Pixel Watch on iPhone. I double checked either today or yesterday. No, you can't. You cannot use a Pixel Watch with iOS. It is currently Android only. Which, you know, okay. Like, if honestly though, if Pixel Watch was, like, iOS compatible, I might switch.
I might consider it. I feel like I would say this new Pixel Watch looks so good. I almost wonder if Apple's like, let's hit that button to unlock Android compatibility with the Apple Watch. If Apple did,
they
Apple
would
Watch
win over
on
the
Android,
Pixel Watch market, you think? We'll see.
It's kind of.
Because for now, for me, it really boils down to Apple has hit consistently for me a 2-day mark on this watch battery life, the Apple Watch series. If I'm using it heavily, then it's like 1.5 days, but if I'm not, it's 2 days. So, like, pretty good. Google is still struggling to meet a 24-hour mark. So, like, you need the Pixel Watch battery life is gonna like really make or break its like how we evaluated this time around. I mean, I think features like loss of pulse are hard to test. I'm not gonna go like have a cardiac arrest moment just to, like, test pulse. It's not safe.
Sherlyn, I'm going to hold this pillow over your head.
This is how dedicated we are to the job, you all.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimin Jung is here. Hi.
Yeah. Didn't you? You went on a hike with the Apple Watch Ultra, right? You went to the.
I did. It was fun.
That thing.
Wasn't
almost
were
got
you
lost
the one that,
with the
no,
compass
me, Sam
thing.
Threatened
that
me with a good
thing.
Time. Sam was like,
it was me.
I think I said something like, oh my God, we forgot about this. Satellite SOS texting, coming to Android phones for the first time by way of the Pixel 9.
Did they found that on the other Pixels too? Like, they sort of, like, go.
They could have. I don't know. I haven't caught up with that. Could have been.
I just saw.
But
I saw
Pixel 9 is where we're seeing it first. And when I mentioned
this
on our live blog, which, by the way, you guys can go back and read. It's a hoot and a half. The satellite SOS feature, I was like, I'm so hyped. I don't know why. And then Sam was like, why don't you go on a hike and test it? I was like, yeah, don't give me more reason to go on a hike for work, because I will. Although I really should take the Galaxy Watch Ultra on a hike, and I still have refused to put it back on my wrist. I'm sorry, Samsung. It just is huge.
Oh, man. I think this is the story I was seeing. There were posts on Reddit saying satellite SOS randomly showed up on my Pixel 8 safety and emergency settings. So people were seeing it.
I see. Yeah,
it
exactly.
It does look like visually the future is, Pixel 9 for the first time. Hey, that's a good thing. I do love that this is, and people kind of made fun of it when Apple did it as well. But hey, we don't have connectivity everywhere. It is It is sometimes important.
Yep.
There are still stories you hear of hikers just dying in the middle of nowhere because they lost power, they got lost, they didn't have water. Like, it still happens. This is like a super easy thing to do. And like,
don't get me started. Yeah. Don't get me started on like cave exploring gone bad. But I also want to point out that Yash in the chat, who I've mentioned a few times now, says that WatchOS worked with iOS, that you looked it up and it was a nice while it lasted. I think you're talking about Wear OS, which was Android Wear before Wear OS. And Wear OS did work with iOS, or I think it was Android Wear that did work with iOS, because Fossil watches that ran Android Wear / Wear OS were compatible with iPhones.
I remember the Moto 360. I remember trying
and
to test
it was so
that on an
basic,
iPhone,
though. You could not reply to text. You could get text, so but not reply. Basic. And then eventually it was reply with an emoji.
Couldn't do anything.
Those were the Wild West days when everything was bad, and everything is still bad. Okay, we really should. It's late.
We should probably wrap this stream. Is there anything else you wanted to mention, Trillin, from just, you were at Google, anything you noticed there?
No.
Did you get to talk to
people? No, I did not. I mean, I think the event was well planned, well executed. The devices themselves, sure. I think quickly shouting out the Buds Pro 2, just go read our news post by Billy Steele on our website, engadget.com. But for them to be the first, like, designed for Gemini is quite the claim. It's also the first to have like a Tensor A1 chip, a design for like wearables, like again, for headphones. Again, like it feels like a really, every product we've talked about so far, especially in the wearable space, has something significant news-wise attached to it, which I think is cool. But yeah, obviously we'll have to see when these get in our hands. We're testing in the real world. I'm already like seeing fun pictures of people using AdMe. I will use AdMe till the day I die, just to get pictures of me with me with me with me.
Mm-hmm.
A whole band of me's.
somehow, no. I'm not
I am
surprised.
On brand.
Somehow
I am nothing
not surprised.
If not on
That's
brand.
What it's leading to.
But maybe we should say goodbye to people. It's been an hour. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We really appreciate all of you.
Thank you all.
Even those of you who have already pre-ordered the phones, because what are you thinking? If you pre-ordered it, you let us know. You come back to the podcast on Thursday. Yeah.
Get yourself a good deal. Like, we keep an eye out for Engadget, because we will often post like a lot of the deals we see, but Don't rush. There are often good deals. Look at what your carrier is doing. What is the trade-in your carrier is going to offer you for your existing device? Take it easy. I basically got the 15 Pro Max for not much. For not because I waited like a month or two and Verizon had a really good trade-in deal. So
waited out a little bit for better deals. So people are saying bye. I want to say bye to the people who have already started saying bye deeper than I am. Mark Dell was saying that you should play cat videos on the stream now that you can do these videos. It's very hard to manage. Davindra is really doing his best.
I'm
like doing an amazing
around.
Job while talking. Also, thanks to Davindra for hosting this. And actually right now it's like almost 7 p.m. where you are, Davindra, I think. And then Yash is going to a future concert now. Mark Dell does point out, if you have any thoughts, not only can you come back on Thursday morning at about 10:30 a.m. Eastern to this YouTube channel to join in the live stream of the Engadget podcast with Davindra and Sam Rutherford from our team, you can also send us emails, podcast@engadget.com, or like me, like Sherlyn at engadget.com, Sherlynn at engadget.com. And then, we will see you shortly. Goodbye to Buddy 305 Love, Barkdell, Jamil Johnson, Deepro9, everyone that's here.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much. I also say, hey, go check out our coverage. Go read our coverage, share the coverage. There's some videos online, and let us know if there's any other, any other questions you've got about these Pixel devices.
Trillin
makes it back safely to the East Coast. Everybody is dealing with flight delays today, but thank you so much, folks, for joining us. Podcast@engadget.com, and be sure to subscribe to the show. Thanks, folks. We're out.